Desiring the Lord's help this evening, I'd direct your attention to the letter of Paul to the Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And the title of this evening's sermon is God is More Than Able. God is More Than Able. The prior verses in this chapter of Ephesians see some of the most remarkable petitions mentioned in the Bible. Starting from verse 16, the Apostle Paul prays for the Spirit to strengthen us, for Christ to indwell us, for Christ's love to be better known by us, and for God's fullness to fill us. And what a remarkable thought to think that God's holiness and God's goodness and God's love and God's justice are able to fill us. And you and I must pray earnestly for these spiritual blessings that Paul has prayed for us in the preceding verses 16 to 19. And as we pray, let us recognize that we come to a God who is so powerful that he can do much more for us than we ask or think. Time is passing quickly. Already we are now in 2018. And if you think of how old you're going to be next year, you'll realize how rapidly time is passing on. Eternity draws ever nearer. And amid the procession of unpredictable events and personal challenges, it can be easy to lose sight of what God is doing for us every moment of every day. God loves his people and he cares for us. Recently, I wrote in an email to a lady who is caring for her elderly husband. I said, remember also that you have a God who cares for you, casting all your care upon God, for he careth for you. But as we go into this new week, the pressures of busy family life and jobs to do and education and home life and all the other responsibilities that we are faced with, and we can start to wonder, is God able to help me today? Is God able to help me in my situation? Well, this evening, questions like that are met with a resounding yes. God is able to help you in your present situation, both individually and collectively as a church and congregation. Indeed, God is much more able to help us than we can imagine. We have a God who rules and reigns as much today as he did when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world more than 2,000 years ago. We have a God who is able to help us equally now in this day of small things as when the greatest revivals took place in this country. Well, my first heading, God is more than able to do what we ask. Now unto him that is able. And the Greek word translated able here in verse 20 is dynamai. And from this Greek verb we get our English word dynamite. God is dynamically able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. And the words exceeding abundantly could also be translated as infinitely or immeasurably. God is dynamically able to do infinitely above all that we ask or think. What do you ask for in prayer? We seek God's blessing upon our families. We pray for the unconverted among them to be saved. We pray for the believers in our church and in the sister churches to be strengthened in their faith. We may ask God to heal and recover the sick. We pray for grace and wisdom to be given to others who are going through difficult times. We ask the Lord to appear for us in situations that are too hard for us. We seek the Lord for daily grace and strength. We pray to be more like Christ. We ask the Lord to bless our church, to help his ministers, to bring in the lost from the surrounding communities, to strengthen the work of our hands. We remember missionaries, the persecuted, friends and families overseas. We may pray the words of the Apostle Paul and pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I encourage the children and the young people to ask the Lord for help in your studies when you're at school and university. And those of you now in the workplace, that you ask the Lord for his help. And we may ask the Lord for many different things. And we must ask, because God tells us in his word, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so this evening I encourage you, keep praying and keep asking God for all the desires that he puts in your heart. But just be aware that because you and I are human, our requests are often feeble and finite. And we have to recognize also that there are a lot of selfish motives mixed in our prayers. We may pray for a trial to be removed when instead the Lord wants us to ask for wisdom and strength. We may pray for success when what we need is humility. Or we may ask for safety when instead we need godly courage. We ask within the limits of our finite human vision. But God is able to do more. He sees into eternity. What is needful for our soul and for the souls of those whose lives we are bound up with. And remember, your prayers and your prayerful giving can influence generations yet to come. For almost 20 years, I've been secretary of a trust which arose from a will made in 1726 by a particular Baptist in Kent, called James Tilden. And he died in 1729, and the will therefore came into effect. And today we still administer his trust, the legacy that he left for the work of particular Baptist causes in the county of Kent. And I'm sure that he prayerfully made that will, but he could not have expected that nearly 300 years later, his trust is now worth £2 million and able to distribute about £80,000 to local churches in Kent. But that is just one example of a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. But God is not just able to do more than what we ask, but secondly, God is more than able to do what we think. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The ways of the Lord cannot be limited to what we ask, because his wisdom, his power, his purposes are beyond our thoughts or imagination. His ability to do far exceeds our ability to ask or think. God is able to do for us infinitely above what we can even think. And remember that word of Romans 8 verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The God who loved the world so much that he did not spare his only begotten son invites us to come to him confidently in prayer. And in his response, he promises to use the full measure of the power of the Godhead. Remember, we come in prayer to a God who created the heavens and the earth. And every professing believer who believes the world evolved in some way is emasculating God. We come in prayer not only to a creating God, but to a God who sustains all things. He sustains the world he made. He knows all the stars by name. We come to the God who is everywhere present, to the God who knows all things, past, present, and future. And this is the God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But there's a challenge, isn't there? If this is so, and it is so, God's greatness should cause us to believe that he is good, even when our prayers are not answered in the way that we asked. When God does not heal us or recover us, it means that it is in his infinite wisdom that we must wait for him to be gracious. He may purpose that our illness or condition or sadness in life remains with us until he sees fit to take it away. The Apostle Paul had to face up to this truth himself. But he was the penman that gives us the words of our text this evening. He said, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing," he writes, "I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." A God who can do abundantly, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, may also say to us, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." The Lord may wait to be gracious. Even more challenging is the wait for positive prayers and positive answers for loved ones to be saved. And we must keep besieging the throne of grace for our children and others to be rescued from sin, Satan, and hell. But we must wait patiently, trusting that a sovereign God does not make mistakes. And as we go through life, there are things that don't make sense to us. But we should not limit the infinite God to work according to our earthbound wisdom. We should not limit the infinite God, the eternal God, to work according to our timescales. Because an infinite God who is eternal works in ways beyond our thoughts. That is what God declared to Isaiah. He said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God promises to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that sometimes means he does things in a very different way to what we had wanted or planned. Some of us can look back 1 or 2 years and we now find ourselves on a different track, heading in a different direction than we had expected. And such changes may be painful, but God intends our good. And as we head into the rest of 2018, the Lord may have further changes in store for us, and not all of them will be easy. But if you're a believer here this evening, you're not to seek your happiness and security in this passing fallen world, but you are to seek your joy and strength in the Lord himself. Yes, God has given us all things richly to enjoy, and enjoy those things that God gives you, but do not idolize them. By all means, enjoy the beauty of God's creation, But you need to look also beyond this sin-cursed world to the glorious world to come. By all means, pray for recovery and healing and restoration. But don't forget that you, as God's child, are heading to Christ's presence, where there is no suffering, no pain, and no disappointment. God is able to do more than we ask or think. But thirdly, how will God do exceeding abundantly? How will God do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think? Paul writes, according to the power that worketh in us. And this word according is used 15 times in this short epistle to the church at Ephesus. And Paul's already spoken about the power of God in Ephesians 1 verse 19. And he's exhorted that they prayed that the saints might know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. According to the working of his mighty power. Now, if you run a business or you work in a school or some other organisation, budgets will have been set for this year of 2018. And you'll know, if you have budget responsibility, what that is. Very few organisations or businesses have more money than they know what to do with. And those of us with budget responsibilities are constrained by the resources available to us. We might want more money for a particular purpose, but it isn't available. In our households, we have to live within our means. But God is not constrained in that way. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his extraordinary and limitless power. And God can, and God will use his sovereign power on our behalf. God has this extraordinary power to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And may I remind you, as I remind my flock at Bounds Cross, that so often we do not have the blessing because we do not ask for it. Ask and ye shall receive. But there is something still more wonderful in verse 20. How will God apply his sovereign power? God will work sovereignly according to his power that is at work in us. And this is the really special thing about verse 20. God works in us personally. God will do more than we ask or think through his power, and this power will be expressed through us. You and I in the church are the instruments by which God is going to accomplish more than we can ask or think. Now, you may look back at your Christian life as I do, and you feel that you haven't accomplished much. I look back at my own ministry and feel that I have accomplished so little. But dear friends, the Lord is able to use our feeble service, our prayers and our giving far beyond our expectations. God uses his dear children far more than they realize to be a blessing to others. Now, we know the good angels minister to the elect in unseen ways, but the Lord uses his power in people to serve one another. How is the work of the gospel advanced? Do the angels come down from heaven and preach it? Do they knock on doors in the locality and open up about the gospel? No. The Lord uses his power in people to advance the gospel. The gospel is advanced and the kingdom of God is advanced by people like you and me being faithful in God's work. In the chapel at Biddenden, there is a large wall plaque above the pulpit, and it commemorates our first pastor, John Kemp. He was pastor from the beginning of the chapel in 1880 until he passed away in 1932. And it says of him, quiet, gentle, patient and sober in judgment, His fatherly advice was made useful to many. How did that come about? It came about because the power of God was working in his heart and through him to influence the lives of others through his preaching and his pastoral care. So often our temptation is to look for heroism, for significance, for success, for great accomplishments. But actually the Lord usually works through simple things, small actions, unnoticed kindness, and unsung patient perseverance. Over the years, I've received kind and encouraging emails and letters from others which have strengthened me and helped me to press on. And your perseverance, your integrity, your love is what God uses to help others and to empower them. You may never have thought about things like this before, but think about it. And as you do, you will realize that it's true. Some years ago, I made simple recommendations concerning the church to which I believed two young men in my congregation should attend when away at university. Others were giving them less good advice, directing them to liberal or more liberal churches. But thankfully they followed my advice. And what has happened? They have since received much more in attending that church than they could have asked or imagined. Our love, our prayerful advice, our loving concern for one another can do more than we imagine. God's power, Paul says, that works in us. Some of you are ministers, and the temptation for ministers of the gospel is to want to be the next Whitfield or the next Spurgeon, or maybe it's just confined to me. In a sense, ministers should aspire to be used greatly of the Lord. But he gives to the church very few men of such instrumentality, because that is not his usual way of working. God usually works through humble men of God, working in relative obscurity according to the grace given them. Certainly in Kent and East Sussex, there are plenty of places of worship now closed, and yet at one time they had men which were greatly used of God. Why are they closed? Why has God removed the candlestick? In some instances, if not many instances, those great ministers did not address the future wisely or firmly. There was no succession, no plan for the future, and the work died. And yet, by contrast, there's other places of worship still open today. You look at the list of ministers and pastors they had, and none of the names stand out, none of them particularly well known. But those faithful men of God, though they may have been less able, plodded on patiently, and they had the humility and grace to make provision for the future. And to all of us, we're not to look for the amazing, for the noteworthy, but to humbly continue in the Lord's service, in the place appointed, serving him as you are able, and the Lord's power will work through you. Some of you, no doubt, clean and tidy this place of worship. You stand at the door, you take the offering, you do 100 unseen tasks, and yet the Lord uses those tasks to maintain this place of worship, to be a blessing. Your collective generosity is enabling faithful editions of God's word to be prepared, published and distributed. It's enabling elderly Christians to be cared for in a Christian environment. It's enabling missionaries to continue their work overseas, especially in the Philippines. The world may not think that any of what we do is of any consequence at all. The attitude of the world may be like that of Nehemiah's opponents. What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? But what happened? In a few months, the wall was built around Jerusalem, and the contributions of many feeble folk working together were blessed because God's power was at work in them. And God continues to use his people to work out his eternal purposes according to his power through Christians like us. But there is a practical application, isn't there? Because God is working sovereignly and personally, we know that he orders our lives accordingly. We may feel down about our family situation, but our family situation is the one he has appointed for us. Our church situation may challenge us, but it is the one that he has ordained for us. Our daily responsibilities are the ones he has mapped out for us. The challenges we face have been ordered by his wise decree. And as we look at our lives, God's provision in all these ways may not be always what we want. Quite often, we definitely wouldn't ask for our circumstances to be as they are. But God gives us what he does in order to prepare us, strengthen us, humble us, and to bless us. He orders our lives so that we should be more dependent on him and less dependent on human strength. In Gospel Hymns number 730, verses 2 and 3 encapsulate my thoughts. My times are in thy hand, whatever they may be, pleasing or painful, dark or bright, as best may seem to thee. My times are in thy hand. Why should I doubt or fear? A father's hand will never cause his child a needless tear. Our circumstances are ordered to wean us from this world, to make us depend on Christ and to become more like him. Because God's power is working in us not only to be a blessing to others, but to transform us more into the likeness of Christ. Romans 8 verse 29 has a brighter sister verse next to it in Romans 8 28. But let's not forget Romans 8 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. To be more like Christ. And as we view our daily circumstances, there are no such things as luck, fortune, or chance. Everything, absolutely everything, is happening as it does because of God. And through the prayers and the actions and the words of his people, God is working by his power. You may feel to be an insignificant member of this church, but remember, when you serve the Saviour in ways that are pleasing to him, he blesses what you do. He's able to make you a blessing, even when you feel what you do is insignificant and goes largely unnoticed. God is able to use what we do. He's able to bless the humble offerings of service that we give him, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. My fourth and last heading is a practical application. Do not limit God. Do not limit God. We come to God who has limitless power, And he graciously puts forth that power on behalf of his children. And yet all too often our sin is to limit the Holy One of Israel. The children of Israel in their wanderings in the desert so often reflect the state of the church. And one of the particular sins of the Israelites was to limit the Holy One of Israel. You think of how God gave them such gracious promises concerning the land of Canaan. And yet when they emerged from Egypt and they'd spent a few months in the desert, the Israelites didn't believe that God could fulfill his promises for them. And you and I may be guilty this evening of limiting God. We may look at our problems and we may think, hopefully not say, they are too big for God to solve. But this verse, Ephesians 3 verse 20, really encourages us to open our mouth in prayer, because nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible for him. The Almighty Redeemer of Israel says in the words that we read in Psalm 81, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Tonight God may say, I am the powerful God who saved you from your sins, and I am able, much more than able, to do what you ask or think. But sadly, unbelief clouds our view of what God can do. Too often we doubt his gracious promises. But this evening we should seek to give glory to God by crediting the truth that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And yet, as we read in Psalm 81, God had to say, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. We may look at these closing verses of Ephesians chapter 3 and think, they're not for me, they're for the super Christian. I don't think such a person exists. Rather, these verses in Ephesians chapter 3 are for the humble, contrite, feeble Christian who trusts in God for you and me. At this time of year, with the long nights and the short days, we can become naturally despondent and discouraged. And we may view the year ahead with concern. We foolishly bring tomorrow's cares into today, forgetting that God exhorts us, take therefore no anxious thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We should definitely not try and pack all of 2018's troubles into our heart today. But we must leave this year in God's hands to unfold day by day. But more than that, we can pray the petitions that we have here in these closing verses of Ephesians chapter 3. These petitions that led Paul to burst forth into the doxology that concludes this chapter. Let us pray that God would strengthen us with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Let us pray that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. Let us cry unto God that we would be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Let us ask to be brought to understand much more of his love. Let us beseech our Heavenly Father to fill us with all the fullness of God. And as we pray, as we bring our petitions to God, for our church, for our families, for ourselves, for our loved ones, for this nation, let us remind ourselves constantly that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.